In Canada, How Much Diversity in Our Schools by Ben Levin. Canadians tend to see our country as demonstrating the possibilities of a society with high cultural diversity and low conflict. We are officially a bilingual country with guarantees of education for religious and language minorities, as well as the rights of Aboriginal people embedded in our Constitution. Since 1971, multiculturalism has been an established element of Canadian national policy alongside bilingualism. We are a country built on immigration from many parts of the world. Canada accepts about 250,000 immigrants and refugees per year, which is close to 1% of the population, among the highest rates in the world. The vast majority of Canada's immigrants today come from Eastern and Southern Asia. Many do not speak English or French as a first language. As a result, Canada's large cities are highly diverse. Toronto is nearly 50% foreign-born, while most other urban centers also have substantial immigrant and non-white populations. In recognition of these realities, Canada's public school system already embodies quite a bit of diversity and choice, even though the issue has not sparked the same sort of passionate debate as in the U.S. or a number of other countries. Consider some of the educational choices already available to Canadian families. All provinces have a system of independently governed Francophone schools to meet the requirements for minority language education in the Canadian Constitution. In Quebec, the situation is reversed, with a system of Anglophone schools established for the same purpose. All provinces provide French immersion programs for non-Francophone students who wish to be educated in French. Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Ontario fund Catholic schools as part of their public systems, again as part of the constitutional arrangements under which they entered the Canadian Confederation. Many provinces provide substantial public funding to independent or private schools, typically at about 50% of the level of funding for public schools. Most First Nations control their own education systems. The three Northern Territories all recognize and support Aboriginal languages in their schools. In Nunavut, most primary teaching is carried on in the Inuit language still spoken by almost all residents of the territory. Within their public systems, most provinces support a variety of other alternative programs. Examples include Aboriginal-focused schools, Black-focused programs, single-sex programs, religious schools within the public system, bilingual and heritage language schools or programs, multi-graded programs, international baccalaureate programs, and others. For the most part, this approach has worked reasonably well. Canadians feel we have done well compared with the challenges in European countries that suddenly face large numbers of foreign students. Think Ireland, Norway, Spain, Sweden, or Switzerland. Yes, Switzerland, now 20% foreign-born. Not to mention the well-known disputes over immigration in Germany, France, or the Netherlands. But there are definite signs of strain in Canada, too. Recent immigrants, those who have come in the last decade, are not faring as well as did earlier immigrants. Their incomes are lower, and they are having more difficulty getting established, even though they are generally well-educated in their home countries and Canada has experienced prosperity and declining unemployment for quite a few years. Canada has continued to struggle over recognition of the educational and labor market credentials of immigrants, and many immigrants find themselves unable to use professional credentials from their countries of origin. There are worries that many second-generation Canadians feel alienated from Canadian society, and continue to experience unacceptable levels of discrimination, especially with regard to employment. Meanwhile, Canada's nearly 1 million Aboriginal people, who are, of course, not immigrants, continue to lag significantly behind national averages in such areas as longevity, health, and education. At the same time, some segments of the public are showing signs of concern over how to respond to issues of immigration and diversity. These debates are not new either. Many of the most heated and difficult disputes in the history of Canadian education, in fact, in Canadian history generally, have been over issues of language, religion, and culture. Despite Canadians' positive self-image with regard to diversity, our record is actually rather mixed. In the 1890s, the federal government nearly collapsed over what was called the Manitoba Schools question, having to do with French language education in that province. Similar, highly emotional debates took place in most provinces at one time or another. For most of its history, Canada's treatment of Aboriginal people was terrible. During both world wars, xenophobic tendencies were powerful, as evidenced by the internment of Japanese Canadians during World War II. During the 1930s, Canada had a very restricted immigration policy, turning away many seeking refuge from the horrors of European totalitarianism. Francophones outside of Quebec regained their own schools only in the last 30 years or so, often as a result of court decisions. Quebec took nearly 20 years and several trips to the Supreme Court to create its current system of school boards based on language, French and English, which replaced the previous system based on religion, Catholic and Protestant. Only a decade ago, Newfoundland moved from 7 religious-based school systems to a single public system, but only after a divisive referendum and a series of court cases. Questions of minority accommodation continue to be highly controversial in schools and throughout society. Quebec recently created a commission to consider what should be meant by, quote, reasonable accommodation, unquote, of minority groups, a move sparked in part by the decision of a small town council to adopt a list of rules for immigrants, despite the absence of any immigrants in that community. Educational issues, such as the place of religious observances in schools and universities, or the right of Sikh students to wear in school a ceremonial dagger called a kirpan, have also been much in the news in Quebec. The commission's hearings have featured impassioned pleas from some for minorities to adjust to traditional Francophone Quebec culture, and from others for Quebec to be more tolerant of minorities and immigrants. Strong opinions about diversity in education were on display even more pointedly in the Ontario provincial election that took place last October. The opposition Progressive Conservative Party included in its platform a promise to provide public funds to faith-based private schools. Ontario currently is one of the provinces that provide no funding at all to independent or private schools. To the surprise of many, including party leader John Tory, this became by far the dominant issue in the election. Very strong opposition was registered all over the province, and perhaps especially among conservative voters. The debate was heated and very much in the media, with the central issue being framed, however simplistically, as the conflict between an inclusive public education system and a balkanized and divisive system that many felt would result from the conservative proposals. So vigorous was the opposition that Tory had to back away from the promise in the final week of the campaign. since a central theme in the conservative campaign was the broken promises of the liberal government of Dalton McGuinty, this about-face did not help their election prospects. The liberals won a very substantial minority, a prospect that had seemed unlikely only a few months earlier, and Tory failed to win a Toronto constituency from Liberal Education Minister Kathleen Wynne in what was labeled as a mini-referendum on public education. Despite their many efforts to recognize and accept the diversity of the population, Canadian schools continue to face significant challenges in this area. Recognizing the holidays or foods or costumes of different cultures touches only the surface of the difficult issues around accommodating so many diverse beliefs and customs. Although some progress has been made in recruiting teachers from a range of minority groups, more needs to be done in this area. Schools struggle to accommodate students whose first language is not English or French, sometimes because they have a large number of these students, and in other cases, because they have only a few and so lack the specialized capacity to provide for them. Suspensions and referrals to special education continue to be more frequent among some minority groups. Several provincial human rights commissions have raised concerns that this pattern reflects an underlying and unacceptable pattern of discrimination. All of this means that past success in providing education to a diverse population is no guarantee of future success. Diversity is challenging on many levels, but learning to accommodate diversity is also critical to Canada's future. In a world that is increasingly diverse and global, learning to live together despite differences is, along with preservation of the planet, one of the greatest challenges facing humanity, and it is also one to which the schools can make an important contribution.